And you are listening to Law and Gospel broadcasts on this August the 13th. It's a Thursday. And because it's a Thursday, we always like to have a rumination pastor with us. And with us at this time is none other, live in the studio, Mark Smith. Hi, Mark. Oh, I mean, Wes Reimnitz. How could I forget that?
Oh, Tom. I came down just for the abuse.
Just for the abuse. And we were talking about that hymn about, and that wasn't a hymn, a song. You know, some people abuse you and some people disuse you. So you're looking forward to the abuse for today.
I wanted to see it in person.
Yes. Well, if you're all interested, afterwards I'm preaching at the chapel at 10 o'clock here. And then we're going to Steak and Shake. So if you're at all interested in paying for our meals, you can show up there about 10:30.
Here, I thought you were buying.
Oh, yes. Well, we'll see what happens. Yesterday, we talked at length about a Dr. Robert Koons, K-O-O-N-S, who left the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in order to become a Roman Catholic. And I indicated to you today we would allow for questions with Wes here. And we didn't get all the material done yesterday, but there were two main reasons that he left the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He had gone to what he called a Lutheran rally with Nikki Cruz. Now, you can look up Nikki Cruz and you will find that he is not Lutheran, believes in open your heart theology, making decisions for Christ, etc. So I can't even understand how a Lutheran pastor would send somebody to that rally. And then he got involved with Campus Crusade for Christ with Bill Bright, who also believes in decision theology. And he was reading some of C.S. Lewis. And a lot of people, they really love C.S. Lewis because he gets great analogies, but he also still believed in purgatory and Mariology and this sort of thing. And so I would say that either he wasn't at a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation that truly taught what we really taught, because it's clear that he was ignorant of some of what we taught. But the other thing is, he could have been at a good church and just wasn't listening. Does that happen sometimes, Wes?
Yeah, more than we think.
Yeah, more than we think. In fact, I just did the sermon over at Lutheran Church Extension, and a gentleman came up, and we talked about 15 minutes. And I could see that there were some things I need to put in this sermon, the second one, to make it more clear what the point I was trying to make. But it was excellent conversation and really helped me. But normally we try and talk to you about people who joined the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, not leaving it. But I tell you, once you understand why he left it, the main reason, Wes, was he was trying to find somewhere where you can have an authoritative voice, he talks about, in helping us to decide what is the true meaning of a text. And we in Lutheranism, we say there are a lot of open questions.
Open questions.
Yes, like, for example, what happens to babies who aren't baptized? If we had a Bible verse, we would show it. We can give some discussion about it. Or, for example, how did the Lord's Supper come about? The Roman Catholics have a teaching called transubstantiation. We don't use a philosophical teaching. We let God be God. So this is another reason some people join the Roman Catholic Church, because they think they have final answers there. But the final thing I want to say before we start talking is that he was very much moved by a Roman Catholic theologian by the name of Newman, who simply taught that the Holy Spirit continues to guide the church in really understand more fully the teachings and doctrines of the Bible. So, for example, he would use the example of Mary. We know she was a mother of God, but then through the Holy Spirit, they came to believe that not only did she have an immaculate conception, for which there is no biblical evidence at all, which means she was sinless, but also that she actually rose from the dead bodily, so that she's in heaven in her bodily form like Elijah is. And there's no biblical evidence for that. But Newman taught that the Holy Spirit continues to guide the magisterium of the church, and it's in these areas where there is no biblical foundation where we would disagree with the Roman Catholicism. And do you have some other items that they...
We don't have a whole day to go through just about all of those, but yeah, the you touched on it yesterday, the article of justification, how they look at somehow that you infuse faith and works together in order to get to heaven, which I think it's good that you went through this. It really gets us to center in on some of the things. It's been a while since I've looked at some of that. The authority of the Pope, which goes with the authority of Scripture that you talked about before. The differences in the sacraments, we generally look at two, sometimes three, whereas they hold to seven. And it's
like ordination, marriage, last rites.
Last rites. We have a last rites in our agenda that we do with our dead, but we don't consider it part of as a sacrament.
It's rather for a comfort for the individual who's about to fall asleep in Jesus.
Oh yes, and very much, as you know, having been at the bedside of one dying, it's very comforting to them and to the family as they go through that process. There's the differences, as you said, with the role of Mary and the saints. You know, they pray to the saints.
Yes. Yes, they say, look at, for example, today I'm praying for some people in chapel who are ill or have had some tragedies happen in their life. And so they say that's the same thing with the saints, but it's pretty clear from the scripture that even Abraham doesn't know what's going on earth, it says. So these saints aren't aware. Can you imagine if you were a saint in heaven and you knew all the problems your kids were going through all the time? How would you be in bliss?
You wouldn't be.
No. So this idea of praying through the saints, you see, we have one advocate with the Father, and who's that?
Ah, that's Jesus.
Yes. And they don't think they're worthy enough.
Yeah, they don't think they're worthy enough. It reminds me several times in my life where I run across some Roman Catholics that said that they pray to Mary. And I go, why? Well, Jesus is too busy and Mary will listen.
Which means that Mary has to be omnipresent. I calculated once, assuming 1 billion Roman Catholics and how many say the rosary every day, she would be getting like 30 to 40 prayers per minute going to her. I mean, and that's probably a small number. And she'd have to have the attributes of God for her to hear and an answer. And I remember reading a book on Mariology. They were saying, look, if you've got the President of the United States, you know, you're not able to go and talk to him, but you might be going to school with one of his children. So you would talk to the children, you know, about your views. Well, this shows that, again, the separation between Jesus. I mean, don't they read Isaiah 6 where he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. Okay, it sure sounds kind of Roman Catholic there. But then the angel goes and takes a coal from the altar, and what does he do?
Touches his lips.
Yes. And then God says, your sins
are forgiven.
And I'm going to send you out. Send me. That's the Lutheran view of how we're right with God. We don't have any need to go to purgatory. But once you get understanding that works make a difference as to whether you go to heaven or hell, you have to reinterpret, you know, justification and everything else.
It really undoes the whole thing. You know, when you go back into 2 Corinthians, we covered this a number of weeks ago, you know, that we walk by faith, not by sight, and how it is that we are children of God through Jesus Christ, for it is the love of Christ that controls us. And having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all have died. We have forgiveness in Jesus. And you brought that up with that purgatory.
Yes. Yeah, the idea, by the way, let me give out the phone numbers. If you want to talk about this, St. Louis, 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-0850. 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. And we do want to have your input on this. The point you were making is a purgatory, to be very fair to the Roman Catholics, doesn't get rid of the sin that keeps them from heaven. Jesus did that on the cross.
Right.
But there are temporal consequences to your temporal sins, and that's why they invented purgatory. Again, it goes back to Newman that the Holy Spirit continues to give more information. The only problem is there's no indication anywhere in the Bible about a purgatory system where you have to pay off your temporal consequences.
I think that's important because, you know, we generally have always taught that there is no purgatory, and we look to the thief on the cross who immediately went into heaven. However, you say, well, with this idea of the Holy Spirit continues to teach, they come up with this, and to point out that all sin, temporal, eternal, whatever kind of sin that's out there, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. When does Jesus forgive my sins? Right now, as I believe and trust in him. It's nothing I've got to do in order to earn heaven.
Well said. And let's go to our phone lines right now, and let's talk with Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
How are you doing today?
Let's see, how am I doing today? Your question?
No.
Okay. I think he's in the angry mood.
Yes.
No, here's my question.
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, really, I want to hear your opinion on what I'm going to say. On what you're talking about, I was listening to this preacher. This was like a long, long time ago, but
yeah.
he was giving a lot of examples in the Bible, and one of them was he was talking about Exodus, where when you read the story of Exodus, it talks about Pharaoh, but we have no idea who Pharaoh is or who the ruling people of Egypt were at that time because Egypt was ruled by many different peoples. And, of course, he would go on and on, but his point was, he said the reason why the Bible was written was because it was to tell you about God's plan of salvation, but not everything about God's plan of salvation, only what God wanted you to know.
Would you disagree with that? Because I don't. There's a lot that God hasn't told us, but he's told us everything necessary in order to be saved, but not everything about his plan of salvation. Okay, well, thanks anyway. It looks like we lost Mike there. What do you think?
Spot on match. I would agree with
you.
That's why we talk about some of these open questions that we have there. The main part is it's a story about Jesus from Genesis all the way through Revelation and how he has saved every one of us. And the constant reminder all the way through the scripture that as we believe and trust in him, we are going to heaven.
That's right. And we have that assurance both with that's what the two sacraments are about. Baptism to convince us that we have received the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the Lord's Supper to help us understand that we still are in a right relationship with God. Don't hesitate to call us, 821-0850 in the St. Louis area, and 1-800-730-2727. And it looks like we've got somebody on the line right now. If we can get their name up there, we'll move with them, taking a little bit of time here. It's not coming up. What we need to do is continue our conversation here, and it looks like we do have Cheryl finally. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. I was listening yesterday and today, and you were talking about people leaving the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I'm closely related to people that have done that. I was wondering, and you were talking about purgatory, and I was wondering if our pastors are teaching Romans 6, verse 4, and like it says in the Small Catechism, what does such baptizing with water signify?
Mm-hmm.
It signifies that the old Adam and us, together with all sins and evil lust, should be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance and be put to death, and that the new man should come forth daily and rise up cleansed and righteous to live forever in God's presence. Well, if you believe that, if you believe what it says in Romans 6, verse 4, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness. If you believe that that's a daily thing, how could you believe in purgatory?
You're right on match, man. I would agree with you. It's the main part is you went back to the Scripture. Your authority is the Scripture. It isn't what the priest or the Pope or anybody else has said. It's what God's Word has said to us.
Just like 1 Corinthians 11 is the verses to really understand the Lord's Supper, Romans 6 is definitely the verses to understand the significance of baptism. Because, see, Jesus died on the cross and he was buried. Unless you die and get buried, then you don't really get the forgiveness of sins. And the death you die is, of course, receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And the burial is, you know, we are buried with him in baptism. So I do believe that most Lutheran pastors, at least of the Missouri Synod, are pretty clean on that. Wouldn't you agree with that,
Oh, yes.
Les?
Oh, yes. You know, they teach it in their catechism. Pretty soon catechism classes will be this fall.
Anything else, Sharon?
Well, I'm just wondering, are they doing it in their sermons? Because it's been my experience that I actually asked a pastor to preach on Romans 6, verse 4, and I don't think that he really got it, that baptism it has daily significance. And then concerning decision theology, the reason that is successful is it is on the campuses. And the campus crusade type
yes.
of thing. And a close relative found that the university Lutheran church was cold and unwelcoming, and the campus crusade, that was welcoming, and that was all that decision theology, and he got involved with that, with the music, and
that's why a lot of people joined the Mormon church.
It was on the campus.
They joined the Mormon church because it's really friendly, you know. And unfortunately, people are looking at their emotions rather than the substance. I said at my church, do not come and stay at my church because we have friendly people, because every one of them confesses they're poor, miserable sinners. And sometimes that comes through pretty clear. Come to our church because of our God, not because of our members.
Yeah.
So we
I had a neighbor lady tell me that she had bad feelings about a church that she attended as a child because the women in the congregation were judgmental about what clothing you wore to church.
Yeah. No, it can definitely happen that way, and that's what a good pastor. I don't think it ever happened in any of a West Rymnus's congregation. You had sinless people, didn't you, all the time?
Every week.
Yeah.
I, poor, miserable sinner.
Yep, exactly. Thank you very much, Cheryl. Appreciate
Thank
that.
You.
Okay, and we'll just move right on to talk to Herman. Herman, you're on the air.
Thank you. Yes, yesterday I was taking notes with a notebook on your discussion about this Dr. Coons, and appreciate you getting into this in detail. It bears on what was done about 10 or more years ago, 15 years ago, with this joint declaration of the doctrine of justification.
Yes.
Allegedly between Lutherans and Catholics. I know your late Dr. Berry took public newspaper space to say that the Missouri Synod did not sign that. And I know late Dr. Ronald Furhan gave a series of lectures at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, analyzing this document, which I have copies of. And it's very important to get the accurate picture on this, because you can use words without giving clear meaning to them and then sound like there's an agreement. So that's important to keep delving into this. I know Luther at the Diet of Worms said the popes and councils contradict each other, not only and primarily from Scripture, but even among the doctrines they themselves espoused, there were contradictions.
Yes. We certainly appreciate those insights. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
I just want to just maybe clarify a little bit. Diet of Worms wasn't a restaurant they went to, was it?
No. It was the Lutheran Pastors Conference with a bunch of Catholics.
That's right. And it was at the City of Worms.
Worms, so, yeah.
Just in case. Well, what a buffet. But he makes an excellent point. This declaration was not signed. It was signed by Lutherans of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, who also believe in women ordination, homosexuality, abortion, and this sort of thing. So you can understand anything that they sign probably isn't worth the paper it's written on. And frankly, they really had minimized the doctrine of justification in an unbiblical way, so that the Roman Catholics looked at it and said, well, if that's what you mean, we'll agree with you on that.
That's right.
So it was a sad day in Lutheranism. We're not going to be able to take any more calls because I'm going to be on my way to set up for preaching today in the chapel. But I'm going to leave Wes here to kind of finish off. And maybe one of the things you can talk about is some of the ideas in Roman Catholicism that are unbiblical, or why particularly Scripture interprets Scripture is so important. And as you talk about that, Wes, maybe make, you know, it very clear that that's one of the solas of the Reformation.
Ah, yes, the three solas.
Yes, well, maybe talk about each of the solas, and then why Scripture alone, which is the Latin, English translation for sola.
Well, I was thinking about talking about the do and done religion, too.
Oh, that's good, good. So I'm going to turn it over to Wes Reimnitz right now, and he'll be glad to take you to the top of the hour. And if you're in the area and can get over here by 10 o'clock, I'll be preaching. And be looking forward to talking to you tomorrow on Open Mic Friday. Wes.
Thank you. You know, it is important when we talk about the Reformation and the three solas and why that Reformation is still important. A few years back, there was an agreement reached by some Lutheran group out there and the Roman Catholic Church about over the doctrine of justification. However, it was to, in a sense, bury what went on. And so Pastor Baker was talking about when he said the three solas, sola scriptura, scripture alone, and sola gratia, sola grace, grace alone, and faith alone, that in those items that are still important to us today, that it is through the Scripture. We don't look to a pope or an individual that may give us interpretation. Of course, our pastors may help us because they're very trained in knowing the Greek and reading the Greek. But there again, when we look at Scripture alone, we look for Scripture to interpret Scripture. And that's why you kept hearing us earlier talk about we don't find it in the Bible where it says purgatory. We don't find it in the Bible where it says we listen to one individual or that. The other thing he brought up was that the Holy Spirit guides us to continue to interpret a lot of things out there. Well, the Holy Spirit works through the Word that God has given to us, and that becomes important. But that faith alone and that grace alone, we look at it and we see it in Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, but that no one should boast. So it is by grace through faith that we are saved. And it's the gift that God has given to each and every one of us and is still in our hearts. So it's important to us not to attach a work to that. Or one of the passages we didn't cover earlier that I had written for today was Galatians 1:8, you know, that whether it's any of us or an angel that preach something to a gospel that's contrary to what God's word has to say, we shouldn't listen to it. We don't add to the word. We don't subtract from the word itself. And earlier we mentioned 2 Corinthians 5, that we walk by faith, not by sight, that it isn't the works that we do or the things that we see. We let God do the judging of the heart, whether a person has that faith or not, but we take and bring that faith. And I would say the other thing that, as he was talking about it, is to the Roman Catholic and us, is the do and the done. We still look at the Roman Catholics as being very Christian, and believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but it's those additional works that we hear about that bother us. Because religion really breaks down into do and done. And we as Christians can sometimes skew over to that, let's do something in order to merit God's favor. Let's do something to appease our God, when it's already been done. It's been done through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that through him we find hope and life and salvation. It's been great being with you today. Listen to Tom tomorrow, because tomorrow is Open Mic Friday, and you can call in about this or any other question that you might have here on KFUO.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.